In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My hard drive was dead to begin with. There was no doubt whatever about that. It would not read. It would not write. Its little icon would no longer appear on my computer's electronic desktop. No amount of pushing or prodding with Norton Utilities would make it come back. After 6 years of service, my old hard drive was dead as a doornail. Its passing put me in a deep funk. I packed up my books, my papers, and the class assignments I had to correct and plodded off across campus toward the library parking lot. It was raining. My umbrella was in my truck. By the time I got to it, I was soaked. Traffic was awful. The ride home took over an hour. When I picked up my girls from school, they were angry because I was so late. "Why can't you be like the other parents who pick up their children right after school?" they asked. "Humbug," I said to myself. "As lousy as a day I'm having, children, you're lucky I'm willing to take the two of you home at all." We got home to find that the dog had escaped from his kennel downstairs and had thrown up in the middle of the living room carpet. As I started to clean it up, my youngest daughter opened the front door in order to let the neighborhood friend in, and the dog shot out between her legs and headed for the hill behind our house. When he came back, it was obvious to all of us that he had rolled in something dead. He needed a bath. "Daddy," my little girl said, "would you like to play a game with us?" "Humbug," I muttered to myself as I stuffed my smelly dog's head under the water in the wash tub, barely resisting the temptation to hold it there. My wife came back from work late. "I have a meeting at church tonight," she said. "You'll have to warm up some leftovers in the microwave." Humbug. The rest of the evening followed that pattern. The girls were whiny. My dogs were whiny. The papers I was correcting sounded, well, whiny. Lori came home late from her meeting at church, all tuckered out, and immediately went to bed. After two more papers, I said, "Humbug," and decided to join her. "I'm on call tonight," she said groggily as I climbed into bed next to her. "I hope that I don't get paged too often. I know how hard a time you have falling back to sleep once my beeper wakes you up." Humbug, I said to myself. The perfect end to a perfect day. "Aren't you going to read your evening devotion?" she asked as I turned off my bedside light. "Not tonight," I said. "I'm too tired and worn out." At 12 o'clock that evening, Lori's beeper went off. It startled me awake. As she dealt with her patient on the phone, I was visited by the ghost of the pain of the past. "You know him. He's been to your house, too. He's the one who reminds you of all the things that you've done wrong and of all the people that you've hurt. That couple that I didn't help when their marriage was in meltdown. The young lady who fell away from her church and her Lord while I was her pastor, her shepherd, her watchman. The words of anger and frustration that I had hurled at my daughters that very evening, which caused them to retreat to their rooms in tears. So much pain, so much hurt, so much disappointment from the past, and it all welled up in me that night, and I tossed and turned fitfully before finally falling asleep again. 1 hour later, Lori's beeper went off a second time. It startled me awake. As she dealt with her patient on the phone, I was visited by the ghost of the pressure of the present. You know him. He's been to your house, too. He's the one who convinces you that you're in over your head right now. I'll never make it. I'll never be good enough. I'll never be talented enough. I've got lectures to write and books to read and classes to get ready for. I've got bills to pay and children to take care of and a wife to keep happy. This is too much. I don't belong here. I need to run away. The pressure of the present built up in me like a steam cooker. I felt like the back of my head was going to explode. I got up, stumbled through the dark house to our medicine cabinet. I found the Tylenol, took two caplets, and returned to bed. The sheets were wet with sweat. My sweat. And I tossed and turned fitfully before finally falling asleep again. 1 hour later, Lori's beeper went off a third time. It startled me awake, and as she dealt with her patient on the phone, I was visited by the ghost of the fear of the future. You know him. He's been to your house, too. See, he's the one who gets you to focus out on the days and years yet to come and experience all the pain and all the fear and all the worry and all the heartache that might be waiting out there. My dad is getting up in years, and my stepmom has just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. What's going to happen to them? Lori is losing two partners at her clinic. What will that mean for her? What will that mean for our family? I have a friend in the ministry whose wife of over 20 years is divorcing him this month. Why is that happening to them? Could that happen to us? I have a friend whose wife has just been diagnosed with cancer. Why is that happening to them? Could that happen to us? I have a friend whose daughter has been really sick for a long time now. And the doctors don't know what's going on, and she's not getting any better. Why is that happening to them? Could it happen to us? You see, you know what I'm talking about, because you've been there too. You've asked these same kinds of questions. You've thought these same kind of thoughts. Do I have what it takes to be a minister in God's church? Will I get along with my congregation? How will my family cope when I'm spending most evenings away at church? Will I make enough money to make ends meet? And on it goes. The pain of the past, the pressure of the present, the fear of the future all fall upon us and haunt us. They wear us down. They make us afraid. They try to bleed us dry of all hope so that we are unable to joyfully go to work in the morning or to go to sleep at once and in good cheer at night. Sometimes many times, they get us to believe that we're all alone. But we're not alone. And we're not on our own. We have one who is with us all the time. His name is Jesus. Through his suffering and death, and clothed in the righteousness that he won for us on the cross, we approach our Heavenly Father's throne with confidence, and we pray, I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commit myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. And for Jesus' sake, the Father listens, and the Father acts on our behalf. Are you haunted by the pain of the past? Hear what your God says to you. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Are you haunted by the pressure of the present? Hear what your God says to you. Come to me, all who weary and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Are you haunted by the fear of the future? Hear what your God says to you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For the sake of Jesus, our Heavenly Father lovingly deals with the things that haunt us. He daily and richly forgives our sins, strengthens our faith, blesses our endeavors, and protects our bodies and souls. In the morning and in the evening, all day, every day, in his own way and in his own time, our Heavenly Father is there for us. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for he is with us. And that is why we daily commend ourselves to his care and place all our days and all our nights into his hands. He hears, he preserves, he forgives, he blesses, and he sends his holy angels to watch over us so that the evil one has no power over us. My brothers and sisters, the fear of the future, the pressure of the present, and the pain of the past may very well haunt us. But do not be afraid. Remember, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. That's what we've got going for us every morning and every evening, every day of our lives. God is blessing us. Everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.